Good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. Those joining us online, welcome. Glad you're here with us. My name is Jason Schiller. An honor and privilege to be senior pastor at Hope on the Beach Church. We are delighted you're here with us. As we gather here, just a reminder, this is a no judgment zone. It's okay not to be okay. We are just here to help provide a space and a place and a way for God and for you to connect with God as God is longing to connect with you as he dwells with us. We do love to be able to recognize your presence with us. If you're online, we'd love to see that in the chat. Or if you're here today, there's a connection card that looks like this. If you could be so kind to fill at the front, we'd love to recognize your presence here with us. Truly believe you're a gift of God and that God has brought here. We want to be able to honor that gift. We are in a series talking about gifts, talking about the gifts of Christmas. And so we have talked about peace, and now I forgot the other ones. That's great. And but today we get to lean in on joy. And so I invite you, if you'd like to stand with me as we begin our worship together. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given us, that you come here and to give us great peace through your Son, Jesus. May that peace give us this joy that we long for and need, that only is found in you. So we make our beginning in praising you and rejoicing in what you've already done and what you will do, and to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We worship the God who was, we worship the God who is, we worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, he parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet, oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals, we sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross and he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. 'Cause we were the beggars, and now we're royalty. And we were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. Oh, we shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. God, we do just, we just want to lift our voices to just praise you today, God. We thank you just for the gift of your son in this season, this Advent season, Lord.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Yes, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Lord, we adore you, not just because you're the baby in this Christmas time, but it's because you came to save us. And for that, we have great joy. So God, we give you praise and thanks already. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to invite you, if you want to take out look at your outline and follow along as we go through the Word today. You know, around the holidays, Christy, my wife, she would come up to me and several times, especially in our younger years with kids and stuff like that, and she'd say, "Why aren't you happy? And where's your smile? Where's your joy? It's Christmas time. Come on." And I would reply sometimes, I just go, "Bah, humbug. Like, leave me alone." And she would start sharing, like, "You should have joy. You got so many reasons to be happy and have joy. Where is it?" And so she started giving me all these reasons. Again, I probably would have said, "Bah, humbug." And I know that when she kept going, and one time I just said, "Look, I say it's joy for you in the holidays, but for me, it's just more work." And so when the work is done, then I'll be joyful. But until it's done, it's not very joyful. And she goes, well, you're just a joy killer. You know that? You just suck the air right out of the room every time. And, have you been there? You're like, I'll be joyful when? I'll be joyful when this is over. I'll be joyful once we get there on vacation. I'll be joyful once the kids are out of diapers or they're out of the house. And I'll be joyful when I retire or get that promotion, whatever. I'll be joyful when I get here, this happens. If you've been there, it was like joyful some destination. Or only when things are completed. And I hope you discover today that you're deciding in that moment, you're deciding not to have joy. You're delaying the joy that the Lord has for you, that's available for you right now, no matter your circumstances or your location, just like it is here today. And so if you're like me, let's open this gift of joy, because it's here for us to enjoy. So if you open up you look at your notes, Luke 2:8-20, the Christmas story. And so in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch of their flock by night. And when the angel Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told him. But Mary treasured up these things, pondered in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they have heard and seen as had been told to them. Letter A in your notes is joy is a gift. It's a gift from God, and it's for all people. Again, verse 10, and the angel said to him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that would be for all people. This joy is a divine gift from God that he gives through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus creates this joy out of an ordinary, nothing special day. It's not because there's a joy of a new life, the joy of a baby that has been born. There is joy in that, but this is a special joy because who this baby is. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the promised one. He's the one that has come to save, and he is here. In this joy that Jesus has earned and brought, is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. Another brings us this divine gift in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. And where the fruit of the Lord is, there is abundance and more than enough. And so God's gift of joy is reminded in the Christmas story is for all people. It's not dependent if you're naughty or nice, your race, your income, your circumstances. For these were poor shepherds, working outcasts, working an ordinary night. And God comes and brings joy to them. But perhaps you kind of said, like I said in the beginning, not always are we happy and merry. And even around the holiday. For in this world, there is illnesses and loss, grief, loneliness, conflict, fear and worry, disappointments, discouragements. I mean, life in the holidays is still happening. And the world would suggest to you, well, just fake it till you make it. Just ignore the problems and celebrate. Go do something that can make you happy. Maybe just go shop, go drink, take a trip, have a holiday fling. And when you're done with your fun, you'll be better. Not really. It'll be worse. See, God comes to us where we are. Wherever that is, no matter how dark it is, now how deep in the pit it is, He comes with that message that the angels brought, that brings a light into the darkness, that gives us hope, that gives us encouragement, that gives us warmth, that brings us this great news, that gives us joy. See, joy is not some emotionalism with a Jesus stamp. It's not, hey, we had this incredible music and we got all excited and we're just, you know, we got pumped and now we just put a Jesus stamp on it and say, look, we got joy. It's a gift of faith that's deeply intertwined with God's love and His grace and His mercy. And that's what gives us a hopeful, peaceful outlook on life. It's a deep-seated sense of well-being that even when we go through hardships and troubles, we're not shaken. We're not taken into the dark pit of despair. We have this joy, this strength about us, this positiveness when things don't look so great. Why can we have such joy? Because B, we have joy from salvation secured in Christ. Verse 19, 20, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising. In other words, being joyous, praising God for all they heard, seen, and had been told to them. They have this incredible joy because of the great news of what the shepherds had told them, that this is the one who has been sent by God for them. And you have these two kind of responses of joy here in Luke. One may be more introverted by taking in, and the other one more extroverted expressing. And it wasn't because there was just a beautiful night, starlit sky by the fire with hot chocolate and marshmallows and singing wonderful Christmas carols. No, this was because God did what He promised. God did what He said. He gave His Son and He was born. The Messiah, the promised one. The Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. And they had joy. For the Lord has been faithful and has kept His promises. The Lord has revealed this to them. He made it known that they would know and be included, that they could share the joy of the Lord of giving His Son to come save the world and save them. Remember, Jesus is this baby. He takes on flesh, but He is truly the Son of God. And He comes in a revelation. He is a revelation of God the Father, of His love, of His grace, and His mercy. It's not just a baby. It's a joy, for salvation has come. And we have joy in salvation because it's a gift for us. Paul reminds us, right, in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one may boast. It's a gift. See, the Christmas joy reminds us that I am loved by God. And I'm loved by God so much that He has secured my salvation in Christ. It is not on me. I am loved the same amount by God, whether I am feeding the homeless, doing good works, or I am involved in a sin, even like a sin of an affair or something. God's love doesn't change. It's not conditional. It's not based on our morality. Religions base things on reality. God is based in a grace, merciful relationship that He extends to us. He gives to us. not that we deserve it or earn it, but out of his goodness and mercy and love of who he is, that he gives it to us regardless of our morality, regardless of where we are. Therefore, we have joy because that work that we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean, God, has been secured through Christ. It is fixed for us. And so our joy, we don't have to manufacture by pleasure or pride by herself. But what do? We find it again and again in Christ. By turning to Christ again and again. As the Hebrew writer writes, who is our author and perfecter of our faith, who has done the work, continues to do the work for us. Even Paul says in Ephesians, he's prepared the good works for you to do in advance. He's already designed you, created you, and put those things in life so you may be filling his life and joy and carrying it out. See, being secured in Christ means that despite everything about me that others don't love, perhaps hate, or the things about myself that I don't love and despise, God's love is still the same for me. The same love that moved him to send his son to suffer and die for me is the same love he has for me. So when Jesus was beaten and Jesus was near death and he's being nailed to the cross and Jesus turns and says, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they're doing. That same kind of love, that same kind of grace is fixed for us. When Jesus looks out to us and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it does it again and again and again. Isaiah writes it this way in 12:3, with joy we will draw water from the wells of salvation. Jesus is the living water. And not just a well, but a river of joy quenching our thirst for our weary spirits that gives us joy. So we are the drink. Drink this Christmas. Drink every day this living water of our salvation. Why? Because it gives us joy. It reminds us that we are loved and we are forgiven. So we have joy, and it surpasses our circumstances that we can rest in this great joy. And not only that, see, we have joy in God's presence and following him. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Well, what are these things? These things is kind of a long teaching time that Jesus has with his disciples in the upper room on that last night before he's betrayed. I mean, if you only have a little bit of time to teach before you're going to be gone, it's some pretty central teachings, important things that Jesus gives his disciples. And so you got this experiential teaching in the foot washing about service and forgiveness. And he calls them to believe in him. If they've seen him, they've seen the Father. And he's going to go to the Father. And he's going to go to heaven and prepare rooms. But he's going to come back for them. And then he talks about he is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way except through Christ and this promise that when he leaves that he will send a helper, the Holy Spirit, who will lead and guide them. And then he calls them to remain in him. And in him, when they remain in him, they'll have much fruit and to keep his commandments. And the greatest of that is to love and how they are to love as he has loved them. Jesus is preparing for difficult times ahead to go without him. But it's really not without him. It's just without him physically there. He still will be with them. And so he encourages and calls, invites them to remain with him and to live the life he has shown and equipped them. Because in that is joy, great joy. That God is with us, that he's not abandoned us, we're not alone. See, we remain in Christ in the joy of God's presence. It's like a lighthouse, and it's guiding us safely through storms of life. We're in the joy of God's presence, this unbreakable melody of a sympathy of spiritual journey with God. We're in the joy of God's presence. Remain. It's a furnace. It's warming the heart in the coldest of mornings. It is like the joy of the God is refreshing rain, nurturing a soul's parched landscape. The presence of God's joy is an anchor holding us steady amidst the turbulent seas of doubt. It's a canvas where joy paints vibrant hues of hope and peace. It's a solid rock which we cling. It's a sunlight piercing through dark clouds. Joy is like this, and the presence of God is like a resilient flower blooming in the harshest desert. It's the joy of the Lord in us that bears abundant fruit. The psalmist writes, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand." Oh, what joy we often forfeit because we do not turn to the Lord who is here. His presence is here. It's always here with us. Chris reminds us that God is a God who dwells with us, who is in us. He's not far off. No, he has come near. Joy is here for you. So, D, this is kind of two questions. D, was God joyful at Christmas? I think we could all say yes to that. Very joyous occasion, but let me ask this question. What about Good Friday? Was God joyful on Good Friday? And I would say yes again. Scripture says in Luke 15, Jesus said, "I tell you, there would be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." His joy of Christmas and Good Friday is the same, for God's will is for all to be saved. The good news is for all people to take joy in one sinner that turns to him. This is a picture of God's joy as the prodigal father. Prodigal means foolish. It means he over-lavished love on his son who said, "Your good is dead to me, Dad. Give me my inheritance. Let me go live my life the way I want to live." And he did until he burned it all out and was eating with pigs and swine. And he thought, "I'll just go back to my father. I have sinned," and returned to him. And before he even made a house, what's the father do? The unthinkable thing for a father at that time. But the father who's been looking comes running out to his son. And before his son says anything, he embraces him. He loves him. He lavishes him with love and stores a ring on his hand and puts the sandals on his feet. He's filled with joy. And joy. And in that joy, he's a blessing. Remind him that he's still a child of God. He's still in the family. He's forgiven. He's loved. See, Christmas reminds us that we have a personal God who's been looking for us, and he has this joy when we see him, this joy in return with him. Even when we say, "God, I don't want you in my life. I want to do my life. I want to have my fun." This is a God who celebrates and joys and welcomes them back. It's a personal God. Jesus went, in his ministry, he had large crowds and large events, but there's so many different individual encounters. Woman at the well, the woman that touched him, the man with the leprosy, the blind, the mute, the centurion, the withered hand, all these different individual encounters. Why? Because God cares not just for everyone, he cares for one, and he cares for one like he cares for everyone. I mean, even when Jesus brings us into the most intimate moment of Holy Communion, when he brings us into his supper, he says, "Look, this is my body given and my blood given and shed for you." For what? For to get his sins, but for you. It's a personal you. The joy of the Father. He takes in you when you turn to him. That's the joy and celebration of heaven. Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, and they come back and they joyfully reported, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." And Jesus said, "Yes," he told them, "and I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." Like, "Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." Yes, there is joy in the results of our ministry, our work, but Jesus is quick to remind us that the greatest source of joy is salvation, that your name is in the book of life. This is so important. Because we are so prone to look everywhere else for joy. That God keeps bringing us back. Look, this is the real source of joy. That you're first a child of God. Because here's what we know. Results and circumstances, they change, right? And so we can have joy even in trials. James writes, and I didn't write the whole thing out, but "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I had this conversation with a person going through cancer, and they said, "You know, I'm at this point in this journey that I really don't even know what to pray anymore." And I was like, "Do you know why?" And they said, "Not really." And I said, "Well, you know, I know when I don't want to pray, there's a couple reasons. Let me just throw them out and see if any resonate." I said, "Sometimes I don't want to pray because I'm kind of passive-aggressive, I think. I'm just upset. And so I'm not going to engage in prayer right now. I'm going to go sit and pout and not pray." They go, "No, that's not it." And I said, "Well, there's other times I don't feel like I should pray. I feel like God is just saying, be still and be silent." And that's kind of the other half of prayer. Prayer is not just talking, it's listening. And I think sometimes it just wants me to listen and just receive. And I'm in a season of just receiving. And they're like, "Oh, I don't know if that's really it." And I say, "Well, then there's another time when you're just kind of fully surrendered. And whatever God's will it is, whatever it be, will be. And you just are resting in it." Because I think that's it. It looked like Jesus. When Jesus was going to the cross, he was silent. It says he was silent like a lamb that was going to the slaughter. Why? Because even in this greatest hardship, even in the most pain and suffering, there was joy. There was joy. Jesus had come to that place where he was, however it was, the scripture says, as he was growing in his faith or growing in his stature and wisdom, he's in this place of this full maturity. That in the midst of the worst circumstances and pain, he could still have joy. He went through that wrestling in the garden, and he leaves the garden with his face fixed to the cross, with the joy set before him. There's a third century man who was anticipating death, and he penned these last words to his friends. It says, "It's a bad world with incredible bad world, but I have discovered in the midst of a quiet and holy people who have learned a great secret. They have found a joy which is 1,000 times better than any pleasure of our sinful life. They are despised and persecuted, but they care not. They are masters of their souls. They have overcome the world, and these people are Christians, and I am one of them." They become masters of the soul, that the joy that they have in the Lord will not be robbed by the things of this world or even the pain or the evil that it comes about unfairly. Peter, who suffered several times, over and over again, that we see in Acts, for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And even in Acts, he's being beaten. He's being jailed. And what is he? He rejoices before the suffering he's going through, for the persecution he's getting. And so he's writing Christians under great persecution under Nero. And he says to them in 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ. It's rejoice. You're walking the ways of Christ. And Christ, when he came to this world, lived a life of suffering. He left up his pleasure, his comfort, all where he was worshipped and glorified in heaven, to take on flesh and entered into this broken, dark world. And he suffered all his life. And as we walk in the same steps of Jesus, there is that joy that we are walking the same way. But to say rejoice in suffering sounds kind of counterintuitive. It also sounds kind of like an unhealthy thing. If you're rejoicing in suffering, like you, that doesn't seem right. We could say rejoice because our salvation has work, and through you it gives joy as it matures you to depend on Jesus. Well, if that's true, then how can suffering do such a thing? Is it the joy that you're doing right and it's worth it? Maybe, but that seems to be more human-oriented, us. And I can actually say that I really didn't understand how there could be joy in suffering until I planted a church before, another church. When I was in my first church plant, we hit this season that was really difficult. It was discouraging. I was emotionally drained. And I was reading through the Gospels and came up to a verse that you probably know really well. And I just sat on it. And it said, blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And the blessed and the poor in spirit, like, kind of spoke to me, but those that came to heaven, it really wasn't connecting. Like, what does that mean? And then I read the Message translation that really caught my heart. It said, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God in his rule. See, when we suffer, when we go in through suffering, it becomes less of us, and it's an opportunity for more of God in us. And with more of God comes more of his joy. See, joy comes from Jesus. And the only way to get more of it is has less of you and less of the world. And that's why people who have everything, you could say, in life, that have all the money, all the toys, all the stuff, the pets, the success, or pleasures at their hands, are not happy. They're not joyful because none of that is sustaining. Because no matter how many new things you get bored, they break. They don't bring the same amount of joy and energy. No matter how many pleasures, it gets old, it gets worn out. Things get less exciting, less meaningful. You see, suffering finally brings us to that place that we finally say no to the world and no to ourselves and say yes to Jesus, who's the source of joy. And F, eternal joy awaits believers. This lady that I was talking to is diagnosed with breast cancer. And in our conversation, she said, do you think I'm weird? People think I'm weird, but I just said, I'm okay if I die. Because I have no fear. I'm not holding on. Because just to be clear, I don't have a death wish. But at the same time, if heaven is so much greater, then if this is the way it's going to go, it's going to go. Is that okay? And I said, certainly. Absolutely. In fact, I'm really of the same idea. I mean, I would love to marry my granddaughters or my grandkids. I think there's going to be incredible special moments all through our lives. There's special things to experience and wonderful things to experience on this earth. That would be great. But at the same time, if God takes me, I'm not going to be missing it. I'm not going to miss what's in this world. I'm not going to miss the bucket list. I'm going to be enjoying heaven. And I'm not going to be in this life that is filled with trials, hardships, and tribulations. I mean, earth is not the place of unending joy. Revelation 21:4 says what? He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, mourning, or crying, or pain. Only joy. Jesus says this. Listen, Matthew 25 says, the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. It's a parable saying, but enter into the joy of your master. God has so much joy, more joy than we can fathom or understand waiting for us. While we may enjoy some experiences in this world, I mean, the joys from seeing dolphins jump, and the joys of creation, birth, and other food, and family, and all these other events that bring us this joy, they are a little bit of foretaste of the greater joy that awaits for us. They're a little foretaste of it. They're not a substitution. They're not what we're to live off, but they give us a foretaste to the greater joy that God has us in heaven, that is unending joy in heaven, an infinite joy. C.S. Lewis writes it this way. I should say paraphrase C.S. Lewis. He says, we are like ignorant children who want to make mud pies in the slums where God is offering luxury cruise, but we cannot imagine his offer, so we don't go because it's far too easily pleased by what we can see. And probably what I would do is what we can see or attain for ourselves when we already have the gift of joy we need. Paul writes in Philippians, it's our memory verse, just repeat it out loud. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. There's a conference of the Presbyterian Church in Omaha, and people were given helium-filled balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they were feeling expressing the joy in their hearts. And since they're Presbyterians, they're not allowed to say hallelujah and amen and praise the Lord. And so all through the service, there was balloons ascending. But at the end of the service, there was one-third of the balloons were not released. I don't know where you're all today, but God's got a balloon full of joy for you. For you to just let it go. Let it go. Let that joy come out. Paul says again, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I don't know if you know, that's been a little song. Do you guys know the song? Anybody know the song? Four of us. You think we can lead the congregation in that? Can we try that? All right, I'll try it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Try it. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I got to hear you. It's a lot of waves here. Try it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Ready? Let's get a little faster. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's getting warmer, isn't it? Rejoice, folks. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. There's great joy in you. And for us to rejoice always. It's always available. We don't have to manufacture. It's always there for us. For you are with us, God. Don't let us forget it. Bring us back to your joy. Let us be that joyful people like Paul and Silas that are even in a prison. And what do? They rejoice, they sing. And people are praying for them. The jail opens up and they stay there rejoicing and singing. And the jail gets converted. The guard comes converted. They come to know the Lord because there's joy in us. Lord, you put that joy. Let it fill our hearts today and every day. And so, Father, we pray the prayer you taught us with great joy, that we know you know us, and you hear our prayers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord says, and Paul writes in Corinthians, that the Lord loves a joyful giver because God is a joyful giver. And so we have an opportunity today in our offerings and our tithes to be joyful givers to God and to give him thanks and honor him and to worship him for all his. He is joyfully, as a prodigal father, has lavished us with his heavenly treasures and even earthly treasures. And so it's our joy to be able to say thanks and to worship and honor him and to give to him to show his worth in our lives. Also in your worship folder, if you saw the poinsettia form for poinsettias for Easter, if you want to give in memory of or honor of, those are available there also. In your worship folder too, there is a connection card. And if you would take that out on the back of it, you can share what you're celebrating today. The Lord has, this has been a first time. We'd love to pray with you and talk with you. Maybe you renewed your faith and grown in Christ, or if you haven't been baptized, let's talk about it, for all heaven rejoices in that. And we invite you to plan to connect at our house, come up this Friday for open house. And Christy will be back in town on Wednesday, or you can text her. Actually, you can start texting her, actually. Some people have offered to help. Appreciate that. Talk to her. She's the coordinator. If you can serve, we need some help with picking up the poinsettias. That would be grateful. Or just at Publix here in Santa Rosa Beach. We just need help getting them. And then we'll need help decorating for the beach service on Christmas Eve. And also some greeters for Christmas Eve at here at Ed Walline. And the other things I want to remind you, two things if you could also help with. We also, to carry out the joy that we have candy canes with invitation cards for our Christmas Eve service. They're in a stocking, and so you can take a stocking full and you can walk around and hand them out as you go shopping in your stores or in your neighborhoods. It'd be a great way to just bless people. It's called a candy cane drop. Just basically hand them a candy cane and say Merry Christmas, and maybe a conversation starts, or maybe you just bless them with a candy cane and have an invite to the services. Also, if there's a couple of men who would mind helping us this week and talk with Bob about it, but we have a TV we need to mount in the bistro, and it would be really helpful to get that done before Christmas Eve. So it'd be great to get it done this week, or extremely early next week on Monday. So if you're willing to help out with that, please let us know. You can write on a connection card. We'll get to those who are willing to help out and get you on the same time and be able to get that done. It would be great. And so with that, as we continue, continue our worship. The ushers will come around, and you can put your offering, your connection cards in the buckets as we continue worship. May we rise and give our songs joy to the Lord.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs impart. Wild fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. Joy, unspeakable joy, flowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. And joy, unspeakable joy, overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go. And joy, unspeakable joy, overflowing well, no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go.
God, we thank you for your gift of joy, Lord, that that you have given us, God. And no matter what our situations may be, we know that we can find joy in you, Lord. So we just want to lean into that today. So you guys just receive this blessing as you go forth from here. Now may the Lord God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing to do his will. And may he accomplish in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See you guys next week.